You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. It took me 4 hours to get that coffee.
But it was worth it.
It was worth every sip.
Come back with a coffee popsicle.
Yeah.
A big round coffee popsicle.
We got a lot of rain and some snow, but not the torrential snow that they thought they were going to get.
Hallelujah.
As per usual now. Yeah. So other parts getting hammered, but I've got a pretty clear pathway home to home. So
it's Friday here. Yeah. The tornadoes came through. I got killed and was caught up into the third heaven. And but I'm doing much better now.
Oh man, yeah, it's some crazy days. But hey, Tim Talks has got to go on. Tim Talks is live,
yes,
and ready for you today. And
after the rapture, mm-hmm. Brother Stone's going to make sure it still continues.
Tops.
He'll have to find a new co-host,
yeah,
but
should be easy. Well, we got a great topic ahead of us, and we're going to need every bit of the 20 minutes to do this today.
Yes.
So.
This
it is a hot topic.
Is a hot topic.
Yeah.
It is like a hot potato. And there is a lot of animosity towards this topic too, both from church members and pastors. Some pastors today look at what they did 10 years ago and they're angry about it. I was an idiot. I don't even care anymore. You know, so you got all the whole strata. I don't know.
I'm not pastoring, right? So I don't know. I don't think standards is near the deal today that it was 20 years ago. I don't think it's the same.
No, because most pastors
They got tired of dealing with losing people over it. Yeah, and losing good help over it. I wrote some letters to people. I'm one of those pastors. I'm like, what did I do? What was I thinking? You know, I wrote and scathed the lady because I saw her outside of church. She had a pair of pants on. I'm like, what in the world? You're supposed to be serving the Lord, and you're wearing pants.
I've never had that standard. You know, never. It was as you're serving, as you're. You know, I mean, it just. I know Pastor Thompson preached on it a lot. Denise and I have had our own conviction about it personally, but man, I have never personally taken that issue of I saw you somewhere else. You know, I mean, it's just always to me been, you know, as you're serving. You know, that to me is the biggest point. Yeah, if you want to grow or you want to, hold to something, I mean, that's the blessing of growing in the Lord. I can read a passage and I can say, Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to get rid of my television. And I can do that without saying to you, hey, Al, I was reading the other day in the Bible and I was convicted to give up my television, so you should too. Now, there's where the problem is, because now I've become the Holy Spirit and telling you what you ought to be doing. When I didn't come up with that, the Holy Spirit convicted me of that. But see, he may have convicted me of that because of the junk that I was watching, and you don't watch the junk, and we don't know those things. And so that has been, I think, a mischaracterization over the years, as a pastor would grow, or as people in the church would accept different degrees or different manners of personal holiness, and so therefore, whatever the Lord impressed them with, they felt like now they need to impress everybody else with that, and that only causes division.
Well, in days past, what happened was a preacher would go to a preacher's meeting, and a preacher would get up and say, "This is my standard, bless God, and this is, you know, our church, bless God." And that preacher would go home and say, "Well, that's the standard we need to have too, because that guy's a great preacher. That guy's got a great church, and that wasn't right." Right.
Yeah, right. And it needs to be right from the Word. God is going to, if you are the star that's being held in the hand of the Lord, he's the one who's going to teach you and show you. Can we learn from people? Yes. Can we get ideas from others? Wow, I was really praying about that. That's good to know that's what you do. That's awesome. I'm going to start praying about that. Is that something the Lord wants right for us too? But it has to be scripturally based. That's why basically every standard that I had for our home and family when we got married 43 years ago, we still have. You know, so it's I want them to be scripturally based.
Let me ask you these questions then. So you're going to have, your song leader is asked to wear a tie, right? Your song leader on that platform? For your church. Okay.
For our church.
So,
yeah,
so
for our church.
Do you have a biblical standard for wearing a tie? Or is that a preference?
I abhor that word preference, because if it is something that the Holy Spirit has used the Word to convict you about, even though it doesn't say thou shalt or thou shalt not, it's not a preference. It's something that you are led of through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. And so, you know, I'm very touchy about that word preference, because that is usually a premise to show somebody that they're an idiot, you know, or they're inconsistent. And so, but it's because of the fact of leadership on our platform. And so we are conservative. We're a conservative church. And therefore, more conservative Christians are in our church, and conservative Christians want those in leadership to wear a tie and or a suit. So because if I got up and I would preach without a tie on a Sunday morning, some people are not going to accept that, and they won't even hear what I'm saying. Very few unsaved people or unchurched people will come into church and see a guy in a suit and go, "I'm not listening to that guy." But the potential the other way around is, you know, if I'm just up there in jeans and a collared shirt, first of all, everybody see how fat I am. But, but if they see that, they could say, "Whoa, I don't know about this. I don't know about what he's saying." And so that is the reason. Because it is more conservative, and I believe that it would be a harmful situation for some in our congregation.
I will actually tell you that I had some young people tell me that they have a hard time listening to somebody who wears a suit, because it's an authoritative figure, and authority today is not looked on in the same view as what we held authority to. Just, I'm not saying I'm for that or against that, but I'm just saying that's where they're at, right?
Yeah. But that's usually not Christian young people.
No, it is. That is Christian young people. Yeah.
Well, I would like to discuss that with them more. But, it's not.
Okay, let's move on from that. Yeah, okay.
That's
so
my thinking.
So let me ask you this. Was there a time when a person leading the music in your church had to wear a suit? Yeah.
Yeah, they still do.
Well, they have to have a suit on, or can they just wear a shirt and tie?
It all depends. Are they filling in or are they
permanent position?
Wears a suit. Okay. That's me.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about ladies in Sunday school? Do they have to wear a dress or skirt for your ladies in Sunday school? Okay. Same thing.
Yes.
What would you do if a lady came to church and she was going to teach Sunday school and she had a pair of pants on? How would you handle that?
We would talk with her eventually. Okay. We would jump her that day. You know, wait and see.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, that becomes a consistent thing. Okay, then we'll you know, sit down, try to explain where we're at and all those things. Sometimes somebody fills in and trying to help somebody. And
Or they're new Christian and they want to get involved and, you know, I get that. Yeah. And and please understand, I'm not trying to criticize or pick apart. I'm asking the questions so that people know where we're coming from.
I
had the same standard was very happy to do that and would explain that as well. What about young people on the bus? If a young person's working on a bus, do you have a standard for that? You have a teenage bus captain.
You know, we want them to be them to be faithful, and you know, we want them to be busy on visitation. Other than girls wearing a skirt or a dress. Or maybe if they're having a romp around day, you know, maybe modest. Something more more modest, modestly appropriate, but we don't have guys wearing ties or anything like that. It's a little bit more of a, heat, cold, whatever it is, we don't require anybody to wear a tie and I don't think that we require anybody to wear a tie when they're teaching a Sunday school class. I'd have to go back and look, but I don't think so.
And again, the purpose of all this is we want to be unified and we want to be modest, I think is the two key words.
Yeah. Yeah, and the least important to me
is
the dress standards. And that's where everybody wants to go first, and it's the least important to me.
If you're right with the Lord, those things are nothing. If you love the Lord and you want to serve the Lord and it's in your heart to serve the Lord, you're gonna put toothpaste on your head if the pastor says that's what you have to do in order to lead. You just want to serve the Lord and you want to be fit for that service, and that's absurd, but. The idea is that you want to serve and you'll do what you need to do to serve. And that's the way I was. If you want me to wear a blue shirt every Sunday, I'll wear a blue shirt. I want to serve. I want to serve the Lord, right?
Yeah. Amen. Okay, here's an example. And let's open up the whole can of worms, all right? There used to be almost everybody in Baptist churches would hear that, words on a screen are of the devil. Those liberal churches, they've got words on a screen and they don't have the music up there. We choose not to put the words on the screen. We have the page of the hymnal on the screen. Now, I think Brother Phil Clayton, he's about the closest to what I would probably do. I think he found a program where they put the page of the song will go along on the screen. So for us, it has nothing to do with the right and wrong. It has everything to do with we want people to learn music. And one of the greatest ways that I learned to read a part is in church music. Whenever I first understood, that's that bottom is the tenor line. So you have the opportunity that now that I have been in music for a while, I could go to any church and pick up a hymn book and follow along with a song I have never sung before in my life. But now what's happening is I am going to churches and the words are on the screen and they do not have the hymn book. And so they're singing a song that I do not know. And I'm not saying the song is wicked or wrong. It's just I don't know it. And I want to sing it, and I can't because I don't have any music to follow along. And so that's why we don't put the words on the screen. But I do not believe that it's a sin to put the words on the screen. It's not as helpful for me if I don't know the song. And so, I've been in church all my life for 62 years, so I know a lot of the songs, but I don't know a lot of the newer songs. And I'm not talking about some rock song or something, but there's a lot of newer songs that I have not heard. And maybe, you know, a special group will sing one and I'll go, wow, that's great. And my son, who's a music major, will go, oh, yeah, that song's been out probably about 12 years, you know. And for me, it sounds like somebody just wrote it, you know. So, so that's an example of this church has a standard. When I go there, whether to worship or preach or whatever it is, I'm not going to criticize them. I'm not going to say what they're doing is wrong. Right. And that's our problem is we're trying to equate right and wrong instead of saying, you know, here's a list of guidelines, rules, whatever you want to call them. And we feel like we will be able to operate our ministry much, much better if we can just agree on these things. Since you now are in a symbol of leadership, now we would say a teacher is definitely leading, but you know, an usher, somebody on the platform, it is a symbol, it is a position where you are now put in front of the congregation, and so there's an assumption of leadership, and so there. We're trying to encourage people. So, you know, that's a long way around that thing of, you know, look, it's something that I think if it has a scriptural basis, mm-hmm. it's much, much better. But at least there should be some reason behind it. And so when, you know, we had some visitors at our church and one of the ladies went over and said, you know, if they had the words on the screen, it'd be a whole lot better, you know. And so I understand that. Yeah. That's no problem. But that's what we choose to do. But we're not saying everybody else is wrong.
I think we have to ask the question, is this deterring us from a greater worship of the Lord? Is this something that's going to hinder us from a right worship? And that's why we come to church on Sunday. We come to worship the Lord. Can we better worship if we put words on a screen? Maybe for some churches. I find that churches that have the words on the screen, I think they sing a little bit better if they know the song because their voices are lifted up. You're not looking down into a book. But I agree. I just said to my daughter Kayla on Sunday, they sang a newer song, and I said, we at Bible Baptist, they have three people that stand at the front and help lead that song. And I said, I think it'd be good if when you start a new song like that, that person that sings a part, she sings the alto part. And by the way, that line you were singing was not the tenor part. That was the soprano part you sing. And the bottom note's the bass. You've never been there. But anyways, I said it'd be good if people could hear the part so they could sing along and learn the part. And she said this. She goes, Dad, either you got it or you don't when it comes to parts. And I'm like, that's true. I have a hard time with parts. I'm a lead guy. But somebody had to learn. But you're right. Yeah. To me, it doesn't matter. If I'm singing out of a hymn book or off a screen, I don't care. Sometimes I might have to go to that church for 6 months to learn that song because they sing it repeatedly there. I don't know. It's for their church. I'm a visitor, and I want everyone to sing.
That's right.
But it's your worship, and does your worship honor and glorify the Lord? Is the Lord in your service saying, oh, these people are not dressed right? These people have come, and it's degrading to my name. I think we've got to ask some of those questions. Why do I have the standards I have? Is it because my pastor had them, or I heard it at a preacher's meeting, or because God has laid that on my heart through the Holy Spirit that this would be better for the worship of our church? Can we better honor and glorify the Lord if we do this? And I think those are some questions we have to ask. And I'll be honest, I didn't ask those questions. I just said, this is what my pastor did, and this is what Dr. Thompson did, and they were great men of God, and our church has flourished, so that's what we've got to do. And I learned as I went that some of those things that worked in Tennessee or California don't necessarily work in St. Thomas, Ontario, or Columbus, Ohio. Yes. So it is cultural, and we have different cultures within our country. So I think you've got to ask those important questions.
Yeah, I think so. There needs to be some reasoning behind it. So are we both in somewhat of a quasi-agreement that really standards for volunteer workers are helpful, or are they hurtful?
I think if they are introduced and taught as to why, they can be very helpful. in maintaining a great unity, a great spirit, camaraderie, and a humility. I think if it's done properly, yes. I think if you're just getting up saying, "Hey, I'm in charge and I'm going to tell everybody what to do," you're going to have some hurt. You're going to lose some people, and you're going to have some great difficulty.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and I think one of the biggest problems is whenever you, if you're stressing something, and you've stressed it, and people have now conformed. And when somebody does not conform now,
yep.
and they refuse to comply, yep. conform, yep. whatever, you know, submit, whatever you want to use the verb, now you got a tough decision because you've got yep. more people who yep. are offended because now, you know, well, we had to do this.
Right.
How come he doesn't have to? And so if you're gonna do it, you are committed with the words of your mouth, and you yep. better stick with it. And so that's why I like to have less, because I feel like you know, these are things that we're doing that I think yeah. are consistent, but you know, less is surely better. So you don't have 25 right. things you got to go over before you can put your stamp of approval on somebody holding.
I think
an
if we spent
plate,
more time,
you know,
on being holy as God is holy, and teaching people, and you know, guiding people into, you know, an attitude of I want to please the Lord, I think we'd have much greater success a lot of times with the standard issues of our church. But we haven't taken that time. We just.
Well, yes, and the scriptures are full of examples, you know, yeah. of the same thing, you know, not answering again, not purloining, not, you know, and that's just yeah. whenever you go to work, you know. So there are some very specific things that are taught. But you're right. If our heart is right, if we are just wanting to put the Lord first, sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's humiliating. Sometimes we don't see the reason why, but I think the Lord does bless, even if that may be, you know, less than a correct standard. You know, if you can sort of maybe see some help behind it, you know, just if it doesn't go against the scriptures yeah. for you, then. You know, I think that we ought to
yeah,
do our best
absolutely.
To get along.
Well, that's it, Brother Vassy. I hope that's helped you a little bit. Well, this could really be another whole series of podcasts if we really want to get into it, but hopefully give
yes.
you something to think about anyways and some, you know, some ways to handle that. It's not easy. It's not. Anytime you're asking people to do things that they don't understand or, you know, agree with, that's a tough thing. But as a pastor, you've got to lead the way. So God bless you. I'm praying for you. I'm Al Stone. I will come to your church and preach and help your people understand why we need to be holy as God is holy so that we can conform to some of those things. I'd be happy to do that. Give me a call. And I would love to do that for you and help you in any way I can. I'm Al Stone. I'm in Buffalo, trudging through the snow, but on my way home.
This is Dan Wolven. Let me please encourage you, before you have Al Stone come and speak to you about standards, you need to find out, you need to get an ornate and very yeah. complete list of every single thing he believes, every
please.
Single position, and make sure that he has 5 verses for each one of them.
I think just make sure I haven't been looking on.
Why hockey is better than football? I mean, there are some very, very questionable things that he has listed as standards. So please ask for that itemized and detailed list before you have
yep.
him come and speak about
really,
standards.
Really, I think all you need
church.
To do is ask how long I've been on the computer looking for people with clothes on. That's really the question. If it's more than 2 hours, I think maybe you don't want to have me come. Oh, get some modesty,
man.
Computer. Good night.
Good job, man. Good job. You weave that back
gotta,
in for the
gotta
third
do it. Three's
third
a charm.
Time.
It's a hat trick. Throw
oh,
your hat on
man.
The ice. There you go.
hat trick.
This is Tim Talks. That's another exciting week of frivolity and a little bit of doctrine thrown in there for you. I did get a text this week. Somebody said, I do love Tim Talks, but I got to tell you, I just love to hear Brother Wolven laugh. I said, oh, man, I hear that all the time. So you got it today. That's for you. And all the way in Hamilton, Ontario, Brother Tricky, thanks for sending that in. All right. I'm Al Stone. I'm out of here. With me today, my good friend.
This is Dan Wolven. Tornado Man, Tornado Dan in Tornado Alley. God bless.
And I'm Al Meh Stone. Have a great day. Great weekend, eh?
Alexander the Meh.
That's right,
Meh.
Al the Meh. There you go. We'll be back on Monday. God bless you. Have a great weekend. This is the Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, taking interest in ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.